back on the Young Turks. We've got Jordan Charton's town hall in Flint, Michigan, coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern. So I'm only going to read one tweet for you guys here. Your mom writes a funny one. Is it just me, but Nunes looks like a guy that is stoned but trying really hard to act normal in public? That's a great call, because I couldn't figure out what he looked like, and that's it. You figured it out. $50 from Charles in Massachusetts to tytnetwork.com/go to fund journalism. $50 from Obeid in Texas, and $127 from Nigel in Canada. Anna, go.
All right. Recently, we reported on the death of an incarcerated man at the Dade Correctional Institution in South Florida. His name is Darren Rainey, and he died in a shower at this correctional institution. Well, there were a number of inmates there who testified that he was burned purposely by personnel at that institution as a punishment for spreading feces on himself and in his cell. And it seemed as though the case was a little shady, because prosecutors decided not to pursue any charges against the prison guards that were involved in putting him in that shower. Well, the Huffington Post actually did this incredible investigation. I want to give them a lot of credit, because what they did is they compared evidence that they were able to view themselves to the prosecutor's report on the death of Darren Rainey. And so we're going to go through it point by point and give you what the evidence indicates and what the prosecutor's report said, which of course you'll see a lot of inconsistencies. Okay, so just to give you a little more context, Darren Rainey's death was so gruesome that he had skin like coming off of his body, okay? And the prosecutors were arguing that that slippage was caused because his body was decomposing and because they were moving his body from one place to another. But that doesn't happen a couple hours after someone dies. After someone dies, it's not like their skin starts slipping off of their bodies immediately or a couple hours later. So it seems shady, but we'll get to the details of that later.
I just want to say a couple of quick things here. Again, more context. Darren Rainey had obviously some mental issues there.
Schizophrenia, he was schizophrenic.
Right, and that's why he was doing the thing with the feces. He needed help. He needed someone from a medical profession to take care of him. Instead, they thought, oh yeah, you're trying to show us. He's not trying to show you anything, he's schizophrenic, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna punish you. And apparently this was something that they did on a regular basis. And he was screaming in the shower the whole time, I can't take it anymore. Other inmates said that he looked like a boiled lobster. But Florida authorities looked at him and go, I don't know what you're talking about. No, these guards, they were probably just trying to clean him up. Oh, did he die and his skin was boiled off of him? I mean, it just was normal slippage, and as they were moving him, it slipped off of him. Yeah, like your skin slips off of you under normal circumstances. But right. Now we have more details.
All right, so a trove of official documents reviewed by the Huffington Post indicates that some information from police, the prison, and emergency services was not included in the prosecutor's final report, which raises questions about the circumstances surrounding Rainey's death. Numerous official photos taken of Rainey's body several hours after he died were also reviewed by the Huffington Post. The images reveal extreme damage to his skin, with wounds over his entire body and significant sections of skin missing, exposing red and white tissue, and in some areas what appear to be blood vessels. Now, let's start off with the shower. There seemed to be some inconsistency regarding the temperature of the shower. Now, the inmates who testified said that the prison guards would use the shower as a form of punishment, and they would put inmates in there to burn them, to punish them. Now, the shower apparently didn't have working water controls in the room, and the water didn't spray from the shower head. It had been rigged to use water taps in an adjacent janitorial closet. Now, Captain Darlene Dixon, the environmental health and safety officer who looked into this and investigated it, told investigators that her first attempt to test the water in the shower room, or told investigators about it, after the prison official who accompanied her turned on the hot water from inside the janitorial closet, the water hit the wall of the shower and splashed on her hand and was hurting her because it was too hot. That was information that was not included in the prosecutor's report. The prosecutor's report highlights the county medical examiner's conclusion that Rainey wasn't burned.
She had to withdraw her hand immediately. And remember, she's one of the officers here, okay? Mm-hmm. They left him in there for hours.
All right, so there's more. Lieutenant Alexander Lopez, a firefighter and paramedic with Miami-Dade Fire Rescue, reported that he examined Rainey's body about 50 minutes after he was found dead on the shower floor with second and third degree burns on approximately 30% of his body. The prosecutor's report says a nurse failed to take Rainey's body temperature, but in her original report, she noted that she had and registered it nearly 105 degrees. Okay, so both of those things are relevant because remember, the prosecutor said, no burns, what are you talking about? There's no burns. But you had a fire, like a firefighter, a lieutenant, Alexander Lopez saying, no, there were burns on 30% of his body. Didn't include it in the prosecutor's report.
Because they're not prosecutors, they're defense attorneys for the cops. They're totally derelict in their duty. Their duty is supposed to be to the citizens of their state, but instead they serve they're the local police who are their friends and their colleagues. They work on many cases together. It's insane that we have local prosecutors investigate local cops. Federal prosecutors need to investigate cops who don't know them, who don't work with them every day. Otherwise, you're going to have cases like this when they're obviously in the tank for the local guards and saying things like, oh, I don't see the second and third degree burns. Oops, I left that out of my prosecutorial report. And say, oh, well, maybe your skin could just slip off of you when it's obvious that they boiled a guy alive.
Yeah. And so Lieutenant Alexander Lopez was not the only professional involved in this investigation who noted that he suffered from burns. Brittany Wilson, who worked at Dade Correctional Institution as a licensed practical nurse, writes in her report, which indicates she examined Rainey's body 10 minutes after it was discovered, that he was found with first degree burns to 90% of his body and that his skin was hot slash warm to the touch. Also, based on photos that the Huffington Post did review, and Matt Ferner is the reporter who looked into this story, entire swaths of skin and in places what appear to be multiple layers are either missing, bunched up at the edges of wounds or hanging loosely at the edges of wounds. Okay, what I'm about to read is super graphic, so I want to give you a warning. According to the Huffington Post, Rainey's chest and back appear to be most severely damaged. His chest wound exposes a dark red layer of tissue from his neck to mid-abdomen. White tissue is exposed on his entire upper and mid-back with some red splotches throughout the large exposed area. Rainey had a tattoo on his upper left arm under his shoulder, which is nearly indecipherable because it appears that several layers of skin are missing.
Look, what they did to him is horrific, and he's dead. That's a severe crime that should be investigated. But to me, the bigger injustice is the prosecutors who are supposed to represent you turning around and going, I don't see any criminal action here. Not only do I not see murder, which this is very arguably murder when you burn someone alive and melt their skin off of them, but she says, I don't see any crime. And then you take evidence that is clearly in the record of that crime and you don't put it in your report.
There's one very clear criminal in this case, and it's Miami-Dade State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle. That's who the criminal is. The person who has the audacity to view this exact same evidence, see these images of someone's body burnt because of this shower and because of the fact that these guards used the shower to punish a schizophrenic man. She can look at that same evidence and back away and say, no, there's no wrongdoing here. And the problem is, not only is there a gross injustice in regard to this man's life, it's gonna be a gross injustice for all the other incarcerated individuals in this correctional facility who have to deal with these guards, who never have to deal with any charges for their wrongdoing, for their murder in this case. It's insane, this is insanity. We don't value lives. And by the way, I'm sure some of you are wondering, what was he doing in prison in the first place? Maybe he was a dangerous, violent criminal. He was there for a drug conviction. He was there for a drug conviction. And he's dead now.
Look, this is how power crushes the powerless. And part of the point of this whole show, we're trying to fight back for you guys. And a lot of people criticize us for that. They say, oh, yeah, look at these guys who are trying to opportunistically serve the audience. Yeah, there's plenty of people serving power. And I guarantee you, and good work by the Miami Herald, wonderful job of journalism down there. So I'm not blaming everybody over there, but not by a long shot. Great job in this case by the Huffington Post. Miami Herald did the first story. Mm-hmm. Okay, but do you see government officials in Florida raging about this? Do you see the governor? Do you see the Republicans in charge saying, oh my God, how dare you? I'm here to protect our citizens. I don't see it. Instead, what does do? Power protects power. And if you're going to get crushed in the meanwhile, well, you're just an average American citizen. They don't give a damn about you.
All right, let's look at another case of injustice, because that's what this country is all about at this point. A Chicago man by the name of Felix Torres is in critical condition after ICE officials raided his home at 6 a.m. and opened fire. And they did so in front of 3 children, including a 5-month-old who stood nearby. Now, it's unclear why the ICE officials went into that home, considering the fact that everyone who was in that home was documented and had been living there, that family had been living there for over 30 years. So it's unclear why they did the raid, but it's also unclear why they opened fire. Now, ICE officials claimed that they did so because someone pulled out a gun, but no one in the home was armed. So that's a little strange, isn't it?
Yep. So this is the natural result of targeting a whole group of people. So they said, hey, we're going to go after the bad guys, the bad hombres, as Trump called them, right? Or hombres. And then it turned out, no, he's not just going after the bad hombres, he's going after every undocumented immigrant. And I covered the story of the woman in the Midwest whose husband got deported. And she's like, but I voted for Trump. I thought he was just going to go after the bad guys and not the good guys. What did you think, you schmuck? He's not going to make a distinction between that. And then what we warned you about is that he wasn't even going to make a distinction necessarily about who's documented and undocumented. When he talked about the rapists and the criminals that are coming in here, you thought, oh no, he just means the undocumented felons. No, he meant Latinos. And a lot of people heard that dog whistle. It was loud and clear. So now look at this, nobody in the house is undocumented, but ICE, which has to do with immigration, is all of a sudden in the middle of their house, weapons drawn,
yep,
and firing their weapons and hitting the guy. He's in critical condition, he could die.
How is this keeping the country safe? I mean, the whole notion of going after undocumented immigrants is, oh, you know, we got to keep society safe. We got to keep these communities safe. These undocumented people are coming in and they're rapists and criminals, right? How is this keeping people safe? These individuals are not undocumented. No one's breaking a law, okay? Based on multiple reports of this story, no one in the house had a gun. So ICE wasn't justified in you know, drawing any weapons or firing any shots. So what's going on here? Like, there's no point in what they're doing here. And let me ask everyone in the audience, let me ask you something, Cenk. You have a bunch of agents or ICE officials busting into your home at 6 a.m. What do? You freak out, you panic, it leads to chaos and commotion. So did someone, you know, freak out or something? That's highly possible, but that's because they're innocent people and they don't understand why someone's breaking into their home like that.
And by the way, what does it mean to freak out? There's no right answer here. And we've gone over this in the case of African Americans who are unarmed. They say, in that one case, if you remember, with Philando Castile, he said, get your ID and put your hands up. So either he's got to put his hands down to get his ID or put his hands up. Either way, he's going to get shot, and he did get shot. And over again, hands up, hands down, shot either way, right? So if somebody busts into your house in the middle of the night, first of all, if you're a conservative, you probably are armed, right? A lot of you are. And what are you going to do? You're going to get your gun first, right? Oops, you have a gun, cops come in. Well, what am I going to do? There was a gun, I had to shoot and kill that guy, right? Now, luckily in this case, he wasn't armed. They shot him anyway.
Now, what
is the normal reaction when someone busts into your house in the middle of the night? You're at least going to go, whoa, oh, you see that? He's overreacting. Okay, we got a dangerous situation here. Hey, I got kids in the house. Oh, keep your voice down, sir. Listen to what I'm saying right now. I know, but I got kids. That's it, take him down. And next thing you know, somebody's shot.
So Carmen Torres, his daughter, made this statement. And I want everyone to just for a second put yourselves in their shoes and kind of understand what this is like. Graphic 4. They didn't say anything. They just came in and pointed pistols in our faces and dragged us out. It's a lie when they say he was holding a gun. He doesn't even own a gun. They shot my dad. They shot him, and I don't know why.
So far, the authorities have not said why. I know some of you are authoritarian and you think, no, authorities are always right. The government is always right. I'm a right winger who believes in small government, but the government, I bow my head to you. The government is always right, right? Okay, first of all, if you're right, tell us what you're right about. That's our job to ask you. Second of all, I know, oh, I don't care. They're legal. So what? I bet they did something wrong. That's why the cops had to come in. These weren't cops. This was ICE.
These are federal agents.
This is for immigration purposes. But for immigration purposes, these guys are legal. They're documented. There was nothing wrong with their papers. But they busted in their house, guns drawn anyway. And by the way, Aaron Corbett, who wrote about this on Raw Story, asked a good question. Hey, Rahm Emanuel, you're in Chicago. You claim you're a proud sanctuary city. Did the cops cooperate with ICE? Mm-hmm. Did the Chicago cops cooperate with Trump's thugs here? And did you get the wrong guys? What did you do? Are the cops involved or not involved? If they're not involved, what the hell is ICE doing there? If they are involved, why is Rahm Emanuel, Democratic mayor, who claims to run a sanctuary city, helping Trump's thugs break into Latinos' houses who are perfectly legal and shooting them? Good questions. I wish that government that conservatives love so much would answer some damn questions.
All right. A dreamer who attends Arizona State University as a junior decided to make a point about the fact that a lot of undocumented people in this country do contribute to America, and they do so by paying their taxes. So Belen Sisa, who is an undocumented immigrant from Argentina, her family actually brought her to this country when she was 6 years old, posted a photo showing her tax documents and proving that, hey, I actually paid the state of Arizona $300 in taxes. I had to file my taxes, I had to pay my taxes. Now, keep in mind that she is protected because of Obama's policy to protect dreamers, such as Belen. And what I think is interesting about this story is not that these people pay taxes. Like, we already know that. I think that it's—
Although, Anna, to be fair, almost no one in America knows that.
I know. So, like, whenever I come across stories where people are like, oh, did you know that they actually contribute a lot of money to Social Security, but they never get that benefit? Yeah, I knew that. How about stop watching Fox News? Don't even watch us. Just don't be an idiot and just search for it on the internet, right? It's very easy.
I would like to amend that. Watch us. Then search for it.
No, but I know, but people like to look at us and say, oh, they come from a biased point of view, right? But I have no interest in like twisting the facts for you, okay? So if you don't believe me, if you don't believe Cenk, you have all the resources necessary at your fingertips. Take a look at how much undocumented immigrants actually do contribute in the form of taxes. Anyway.
You shouldn't be part of the ignorant older generation who watch television. And if you're part of the older generation that watches online, or does your research online, you're not part of that generation. You're not part of the ignorant folks there. But they did not have access to Google, so they're like, they are scared and confused by it. Mm-hmm. You should be better than that. You could actually do a search, and you can tell you should be able to tell what sites are ridiculous and obviously fake, and which have real stories. So stop using ignorance as an excuse. Anyway, Now let's tell you what this story is about.
Okay, so I just want to quickly note that even though she pays taxes, since she is undocumented, she doesn't get to benefit from things like financial aid. So she's paying her way through college on her own. And I think that's something that people should applaud her for, because she's not deterred by her undocumented status. She still wants to pursue higher education. Now, I think the important part of this story is everyone's reaction to it, right? Because if you are upset at undocumented immigrants because they think they're sucking our resources and they're not paying their fair share of taxes, well, then how can you be mad at her? She's not taking advantage of any government programs, and she is paying her taxes. Doesn't matter. These people just hate them because they hate them, and that's it. Let me give you a few examples. These are people responding to her Facebook post about this issue. One person writes, "You're disgusting, and I hope that you and your family will be sent back to the lesser country that your ancestors built." Okay. Another person writes, "Whose social are you using?" By the way, she's not using anyone's social because she's a dreamer. She gets a social. It's like a social security number that she can register. "Your face, clothes, car seem to be contrary to you needing assistance, girl." Based on what, that one photo? Anyway.
And she doesn't get assistance. She pays taxes in and gets no assistance out. Oh yeah, you just want assistance, man. How much you want to bet that guy's on assistance?
If you were a foreign invader, you will be investigated. If you are a foreign invader, if you are a foreign invader,
she looks like a foreign invader.
That's ridiculous. I mean, yes. You will be investigated and picked up. I will see to it myself. Who am I, you may ask? I'm your biggest nightmare. I'm a governor hopeful, and putting your deportation on my resume is going to look great on my accolades. Yeah, because deporting that studious girl who's trying to get an education is going to make you look real good. I mean, in America, it might.
Yeah. Hopeful governor. Well, we hope against you. So let's go to the numbers here, because I actually think the numbers are amazing. Yeah. But before we do, actually, Jesus, can you bring up graphic 5 again? Because I just want to show the folks at home this foreign invader from Argentina.
Oh my God, she looks.
Oh my God, she's a foreign invader. Conservatives are scared of everything. They're scared of their own shadow. Look at her and they get so frightened. They're like, oh my God, he's a foreign invader.
Hold on, I gotta make a comment. So one of the people who wrote nasty comments on her post commented about how her outfit looks too luxurious. Mm-hmm. Based on what? She looks like she might be wearing a poncho. I have no idea. You can't tell what she's wearing. That does not look like an overly luxurious outfit.
And how can they tell what model that car is? I don't know. Maybe they're better at the car spotting than I am.
Wow.
All right. Anyway, let's go to graphic 12 now. Undocumented immigrants living in the United States in 2013 collectively paid an estimated $11.64 billion a year in state and local taxes, including sales, property, and personal income taxes. Okay, so now I want to explain. That's just local and state taxes. So every time you go to the store and you buy a pair of jeans, you buy a burger, you're paying sales tax. If you're an undocumented immigrant, you never see any of the benefits of that tax. You pay. And apparently $11.6 billion a year according to this analysis, and you never get it back. And a lot of them pay federal income taxes. Apparently, according to independent research by individual, they looked at them through their individual tax identification numbers. 50% of undocumented immigrants also pay an income tax, but they don't have a number on that, so let's put that one aside. And according to the chief actuary of the Social Security Administration, in 2010, undocumented immigrants paid $13 billion in the Social Security and only received about $1 billion in benefits. Mm-hmm. So that's another $12 billion that they put in and didn't get back. So forget the income taxes, which is probably the largest category, federal income taxes. You just take local, estate, and Social Security. They put in about $24 billion they never get to see again. So this whole talk of mooching off of us is in a lot of ways the exact opposite.
Yeah, we're kind of mooching off of them.
A lot of times they're brought into the country by giant business interests, paid lower than minimum wage, talk about mooching off of them. Then they pay $24 billion a year at least, and that they never see back, that we get the benefit of, and somehow they're the moochers.
I mean, criminals and rapists, that's all they are, right? That's all they are. Anyway. I just want people to think for themselves. That's it.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here, guys. When we come back, we've got a lot more stories for you guys, including a professor with the outrageous proposition that students should think. Obviously, the right wing wants him punished. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Christopher Nagy says, "Boil in a shower. That's legit cruel and unusual punishment. Everyone involved should be behind bars. Hashtag throw away the key." My guess is they wouldn't like the same treatment that they got. And they would be outraged at the injustice against them. Member shout outs of the day are Rebecca Quintana and Tiffany. All right, it's spelled with an I at the end. Tiffany Warren, okay. Tiffany, tell your aunt Elizabeth to fight hard on Gorsuch. Okay.
I'm amused at the idea of someone like correcting someone who says Tiffany, and they're like, no, it's Tiffany. Okay, Tiffany.
Please. Anyway. I went shopping for my wife at Tiffany's the other day. Anyways, okay, we got a great post game for you guys today. TYTnetwork.com/join to get the post game, and obviously we've got Jordan's town hall coming up in a little bit. Let's do one more story.
All right. The Daily Mail, which is a tabloid publication in the UK, angered a lot of individuals, including men and women, because they featured Prime Minister Theresa May, British Prime Minister Theresa May, of course, and Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon with a questionable headline. So let's take a look at what it is, and then we'll talk about it. All right, so never mind Brexit, Who won? Legxit.
Well, that's not even a thing. Legxit is not a thing. It's not even clever. Remember the last time someone mentioned Legxit?
Yeah.
No one does. All right, anyway.
Anyway, so of course people were like, oh, it's sexism. And of course there are people who disagree. One of those people who disagrees happens to be Theresa May. So what did she have to say about this?
It's a bit of fun, really.
Yeah.
And it turns out her press secretary used to work at the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Right, so she just says things like, okay, well, but if people want to have a bit of fun about how we dress, then so be it. So she seemed to kind of like brush her shoulders off and not really worry about it too much. But look, the cover is one thing. I actually think what's worse is the accompanying column written
yes.
by a woman, Sarah Vine. Okay, so Sarah Vine writes about this and says, finest weapons at their command, those pins.
Oh, the British amuse me. Those pins. Okay, by the way, very important note here. They're talking about Brexit. So meaning, is the UK going to leave the European Union? How are they going to leave the European Union? Mm-hmm. What is the Scottish reaction to that? And Scotland might want to then exit the UK. Mm-hmm. That is tremendously important. And there's these two female leaders mm-hmm. having that enormously important conversation, and we're talking about those pins.
No, it gets worse though, it gets worse, okay. But what stands out here, again, this is Sarah Vine writing, but what stands out here are the legs and the vast expanse on show.
On show, like as if they decided to put it on show.
Okay, May's famously long extremities are demurely arranged in her customary finishing school stance, knees tightly together, calves at a flattering diagonal, feet neatly aligned. It's a studied pose that reminds us that for all her confidence, she is ever the vicar's daughter, always respectful and anxious not to put a foot wrong.
Or she didn't think about it at all, or her vicar dad, whatever that is.
This is
she was actually having a political meeting.
This is the most, look, more than anything, it's embarrassing. Like, I would be embarrassed if my name was tied to this article. I'd be embarrassed. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. I don't care what your demographic is. It's just embarrassing because it's so incredibly trivial. And yes, there's the added negative of minimizing these female politicians to a set of legs. But just the fact that it's such a dumb article or column is what really gets to me.
And can I just say, former Labour leader Ed Miliband had a great tweet. He said, the 1950s called and asked for their headline back.
Yeah, there's more. Sturgeon's shorter but undeniably more shapely shanks are altogether more flirty, tantalizingly crossed, with more dominant leg pointing toward her audience. What are you doing?
What
are you doing with your career? Look at your life. Look at your choices, Sarah Vine. Look at your life. Look at your choices. You've made terrible, terrible decisions.
Okay.
Terrible.
Okay. The whole this talk of shanks reminds me of Austin Powers. Oh, she's pointing them delightfully towards us. No, she's not. She's just sitting there trying to have a political conversation. And she, in Sarah Vine's head, like she's like teasing and pointing with the shanks. What are you? You're nuts.
It's creepy. It's honestly creepy that that's what's going through your mind as you see these two female leaders. Anyway,
undeniably shapely shanks.
By the
okay, and pointing towards her audience. No, they're not. She's just sitting. Sarah Vine's having all these thoughts inside her head that aren't remotely true. It's as if the women were like, oh, forget about Scottish separation or the Brexit. How shall I point my shanks and pins?
I don't know what else to say.
Vine continued with the shank talk. It, quote, it's a direct attempt at seduction.
Oh my, okay.
No, it's not. What? Like maybe, I don't know what Sarah Vine's proclivities are, mm-hmm. but she looked at that picture and got randy. She's like, whoa, yeah. Oh, I think they're trying to seduce me. Oh my God, the shanks.
Sarah, life choices. Take a look at them. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, the shanks.
Shanks, but no shanks.
Okay, we are out of time. Jordan Chariton's town hall in Flint, Michigan, very important, coming up right now. TURT Network, I'm sorry, facebook.com/TheYoungTurks. Go check it out right now. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye.